ATSMRadio.com. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And now we start hour two of the El Paso History Radio Show with an El Paso History Moment produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her History Moment today, it's about our old buddy Marty Robbins.
The third time's a charm. One of America's most popular country singers, Marty Robbins, finally released his song El Paso in 1959 after a few years of procrastination. Marty first came up with the song idea in 1956 when he and his family were passing through El Paso on their way to their home in Phoenix. He then promptly forgot about the idea along the highway. The following year, while making the same trip, he remembered the song idea again, then promptly forgot it again. Finally, in 1958, on the family's third pass through El Paso, Robbins began to compose the ranchero-style song in his head. Marty found the tune so simple and yet compelling that the verses came to him one after the other. By the time he arrived in Deming, New Mexico, the song was complete. A tale of a cowboy who kills a man over the love of a woman called Felina. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Yeah, I did that, and I found Bernie this time. Bernie was... Hey, Bernie, how's it going?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, we're doing surviving well here. And that's just done for the El Paso History Alliance, which is a very interesting group of people, including Bernie Sargent, right?
That it is. We are very interesting. Well, in our own minds, anyway.
Well, you got Max Grossman on there, yeah. And you got Rick Kern, a few other people.
A whole
Joe
lot
Nevin.
Of people. Mm-hmm.
And so that whole crowd now is, a lot of them are exited from
the
Historical Commission.
Yeah.
And since you were totally exonerated, I think they should put you back in as chairman, but that's just me.
Janine's doing a great job.
Janine, leave it alone? Okay.
Yeah, I think she's doing a great job. They've got some good folks on there. It's, the way that whole thing went down is kind of sad. And anyway, don't want to get too much involved with it. But, hey, we're persevering. We're doing things. We're having fun.
But now the whole group of people who were now part of the commission are now in this alliance.
Yeah.
And the alliance is including a lot of people on Facebook, more than 45,000 followers on there. And they can call you at 581-7920. That's your main business number and also your home number kind of thing.
Yes, sir.
For Bernie Sargent and get information there, 915-581-7920. Don't call him right now because he's sitting here.
Yeah. No, go ahead and call me now. It's the best time to, yeah.
You can leave a message.
Yeah.
But also another mention for a great partner in El Paso history work, Barbara Given Bainey. She operates a great Facebook page called Remember in El Paso When. Go there for archive pictures galore. I knew she would have Kate Moore on a bike. I didn't even ask her because I couldn't find it. I knew it existed. I'd seen it.
Yeah.
But Barbara had Kate Moore there on a bike, and that was most interesting to see that. And another administrator working with Barbara these days is Jim Carlton. So We thank them for what they do. And that's just a grassroots crowd of people, Bernie. They're not really organized to go out and attack history and make sense out of it. They just decided to do it.
They did, like many people, and it's sort of infectious. And with technology being what it is today, the ability to find information is absolutely incredible. Every time I start working on one project, I get off on these tangents that sometimes go for hours online. It's just amazing.
And there's a lot of history written. Texas Online has a lot about El Paso and the region, but there's so many other sources one can get a hold of. This is a good one on Facebook. It's called El Paso, Remember in El Paso When.
Mm-hmm.
An odd name, but they got well over 30,000 followers themselves.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to go look at history, trade history, and make sure you look at their archives before you post anything. If it's already in the archives, they don't want it in again. Go get it from the archives, pull it out,
yeah,
and then repost it and put your comment on it.
Well, I think the interesting thing is if you look at her, Remember in El Paso When, and you look at...
Don't let the door hit you on the way in. Melissa, you were trying to get on the bike early, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Turn this lady's mic on. Or just turn her on. I don't know.
Yeah, she was pedaling it.
I was pedaling around the block.
So, Bernie,
practicing.
I'm sorry. Back where you were.
Let's see. What time is it?
Yeah, I know. So between the two Facebook pages, we have nearly 100,000 likes.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's far more than anybody in the state of Texas.
And then we come along with a history show, and every week we get over 2,000 people.
At least.
The most we've ever had was about a high school when Eastwood last summer, 25,000 people looked at us that week ahead of that show.
Yeah.
And none of us were on that show. It was my son Andrew and Ron Lyman. We weren't even here.
They hold the record.
We don't matter. It's a matter of what's the history. And that's the point. El Paso history is so interesting. There's so many facets to it. So many people have gone through here, glanced off of it, and some of the people just stayed and wallowed in it.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, what you and Melissa have done is fascinating in that you were not from here, but you've been here long enough, we'd have declared you natives. I mean, that's only fair because your interest in the area is huge.
Yeah.
And what you guys have done about it is amazing. You created Six Guns and Shady Ladies, and you're still doing that, even though you get shot all the time, right?
No, I die a lot.
But falling is, you'd rather fall maybe not as often.
No.
Not, yeah, okay.
Well, falling it was easy when
we
started this whole thing, but that was over 20 years ago.
Well, yeah. I remember Melissa used to wear the knee pads. And I still do. You still do. Oh, my God.
That's just for walking around town. You should see me on the bicycle.
Oh, that's just for getting around your day.
Yeah.
I got it. So Bernie Sargent's here as our guest this hour, and there's a lot of stuff going on in El Paso. Your involvement is incredible. And I just personally, I'd like to thank you for it. There's a lot of people like you guys,
that like
Patricia Kidney.
Yeah.
She's going to promote Concordia no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
And there are people downtown who can promote the ghost tours no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But getting it all together, this seems to like the last bastion of people actually promoting El Paso history for its own sake. There's others studying it. They're doing conferences or whatever, but there's no one out there with outreach like we're trying to do to show people what has gone on here. And it's really incredible because there's so much that's happened here. The trouble is, it's not taught in our school system.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Fourth grade, seventh grade, the curriculum in the Texas history system, the Texas system for history, allows the teachers to teach what the state mandates.
Mm-hmm.
But they still don't talk about local El Paso history.
I think what's starting to help the kids anymore, and Melissa and I were involved in a way with one young lady who had written a paper, and she was channeled to us to answer questions regarding the Constitution, you know, the Continental Congress, some of the founders of the United States, and their positions on slavery. And it was interesting because you could see the direction the questions were going, but they weren't really based on fact. And between Melissa and I, we gave her a lot of information. She took second in the history competition here in El Paso, and she's going to Austin. And I'm just so excited that kids are taking an interest in not just the history, but the backstory of history, because there's so much of it.
And it wasn't that we slanted it another direction.
No.
We gave her the information. Here, you go look at what – this is exactly what the founders said. Now, you take your opinions from that versus, well, this is what this person was thinking. And this you take
it.
And see what they actually said themselves.
Well, when you get to El Paso history, there's so much that's gone on here. A lot of people have a hard time figuring out where to start.
Your personal interest,
you seem to be interested in gunfighters and Old West.
Well, that's what started it.
Yeah.
Actually, what really started it was Keystone.
Oh.
And, you know, I growing up as a young boy, I was at one time, in Pennsylvania. Hey, go figure. You know, I used to watch Roy Rogers and Dale Evans.
Yes.
In fact, I remember Nellie Belly?
Nellie Bell.
Funny story has nothing to do with El Paso history. We never missed an episode, and there was a blinding snowstorm. You know, living on Lake Erie, there's lots of blinding snowstorms.
Oh yes.
And my dad was all excited because he was going hunting with his brothers. They had a large Catholic family, and they would go out hunting periodically. And we lived in an upstairs apartment, and he was waiting for one of his brothers to pick him up. So we hear the horn honk. And watching TV, it was Nellie Bell. My dad grabs all of his gear and races down the stairs in the snowstorm, goes out front, comes back in. There was a whole lot of bad language he was using. He goes,
Nellie Bell.
Yeah, doggone Nellie Bell.
Okay, who was Penny?
Penny, the daughter?
Oh, Sky King.
Sky King. Yeah. Ah, okay.
Oh, I loved Sky King.
We're getting into old trivia here.
Yes.
Yeah, we are.
Was that really her uncle? Yeah, really.
Yeah, really.
Don't go there.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Don't go
Keep
there.
It clean.
The plane was licensed in Arkansas. We won't go any further.
Oh, goodness. Talk about history. You've got some history today.
I do. But before I get started in this, I just wanted to thank everyone for their hard work in Duranguito, because I got the opportunity to go to Brownsville last week.
How was it?
Oh, yes.
It was great. I mean, I've never been to Brownsville. It's quite an experience. Windy, you know, the ocean breeze and so on. I mean, it's 80-mile-an-hour gusts. But it was fun. I drove down there from our daughter's house in Dripping Springs.
Preservation Texas
annual meeting.
The awards.
That's right, the awards. Lane Gatta got a very nice award for his work with the Martin Building. And Duranguito was recognized as an endangered neighborhood, and I was there to receive that recognition from Preservation Texas. National Historic groups were there. I mean, and everybody was giving accolades to all the work that Max and the team has done to promote the history of that neighborhood, because it's a phenomenal history.
It's a very simple solution I would see coming if they were simply to declare that victory and say, here is our multi-purpose cultural center.
Yeah.
And you build something on one end, maybe by the bus stop, so you can have some sort of shows in there.
Mm-hmm.
But all the rest of it's outdoor, open, and walking exhibits, because those buildings that are still existing with the hole torn out, the hole.
Well, we could do the African-American Culture Center, Chinese-American Culture Center, Middle Eastern Culture Centers, all right there in that neighborhood.
That would be a very smart move on the part of the people of El Paso, because you don't need to take down that kind of history. And for the people of El Paso to the authorities, quote authorities, they came out and declared there's no history there.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those people should be fired.
Yeah, well,
every damn one of them, because they have no qualifications for making that statement.
Be a lot of empty seats at the city hall.
That'd be just fine with me. All of them.
Anyway, so you know what prompted this today's discussion? You know, we're going through the alphabet, and we got as far as the H's and dabbled a little bit with the K's and the L's. Well, I was asked to do some research on an attorney who, according to some, was an attorney that defended Pancho Villa a lot. And in my research, Michael Dolan, M. Dolan, they went by.
D-O-L-A-N?
Yes. He lived in Duranguito area. He had two different homes upon two different time periods during the Mexican Revolution, where he resided there in Duranguito. And that in itself was fascinating, in the fact that he did, in fact, get involved with Pancho on a couple of little cases. But along the way, I came across a gentleman named Gunther Lessing.
Lessing?
L-E-S-S-I-N-G.
What old Gunther do?
Gunther was one of the first young men in El Paso to put together a youth football team. This is in 1905.
Had football been invented?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. But they wanted to have a youth football team, and it was through the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, that they put this together. And that's when he was a young boy. And his mom and his father had moved here from Waco, Texas in 1897. And so he grew up in this area. He ended up going to Yale University to become a lawyer. Now, that's kind of an interesting piece of information in itself. But if you look at Gunther Lessing and how he metamorphosed into the person he ultimately became, truly fascinating, because he did get involved directly with Madero and with Pancho Villa, and also with Orozco. Orozco came across the border in 1910, I believe it was, and he was looking to do some shopping. But he was a wanted man because it was felt that he was involved in these altercations with the military. So the mayor at the time, Kelly, chose not to have him arrested. And what Gunther did is he suggested to him, he said, you don't talk to anybody about what's going on across the Rio Grande. Keep your mouth shut. So he got involved with Mexican law early on.
So he was advising these guys from Mexico, don't say anything.
Yeah, don't say anything. Uh-huh. Now, he was also a stenographer for Burgess and his legal firm.
Lawyers?
Yeah.
Oh.
Before he went to Yale to get his degree and become a lawyer. And he was the top of his class at Yale. So a very smart young man when he came back to El Paso. So Gunther Lessing was an interesting individual, much more interesting than Dolan.
Well, what was the case that he did, though, that was didn't make a lot of women happy? And, well, a lot of people were real happy with it, but there were a group of women that didn't really particularly care for it.
Oh, that's a Texas Supreme Court one?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
What
yeah.
is that one?
Well, what it was is he felt that women of lesser ethics that were living on the reservation – the possibility.
Oh, you're referring to the prostitutes?
Yeah, that would
shady
be
shady ladies.
That's
shady
what I thought
ladies,
you were
yes.
trying to say. Go
the
ahead.
Working women. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
He was responsible for taking the case all the way to the Texas Supreme Court to outlaw prostitution, legal prostitution
Shame.
In Texas.
How'd he do?
He did good.
Oh.
He won. They closed down the reservation.
What years were given?
1910, 1912.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
my.
And you, reservation, what are you talking about?
Well, they had, well, what it was is the prostitution, the proper women of El Paso were intimidated and did not like the fact that these ladies of the evening, which were plentiful from 1881 to early 1900s.
With trains, yes.
Yes. They came in droves. But they would frequent the stores, and they would walk around downtown El Paso. Well, the women that were married to the leaders of El Paso lobbied very heavily, a lot of pillow talk, that these ladies should be isolated from the rest of the population. They are a very bad influence. So they put them on what they called the reservation.
Oh, I see.
Which was now it's now called South Mesa Street. It's from Overland South. But back in that day, it was called Utah Street.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the ladies of El Paso had them do was change the name of the street. They felt that would clean it up a lot. Just call it South Mesa now.
Yeah.
But anyway, these gals were relegated to that area, that neighborhood. And what Gunther Lessing did is he took the case on behalf of the more proper women to the state Supreme Court, and they outlawed prostitution in Texas.
So it was an El Paso case that made it all the way. Oh, I said, oh, goodness
gracious.
Yeah,
that's amazing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
ooh.
Shoot.
Now, he was also against the suffragettes. Go figure.
Well, and with that note, we have to take a break here and sell some soap and also do some trivia. You ready for that?
I think so.
What do you got in the way of trivia going on?
Well, in the way of trivia, we were just talking about where was Gunther Lessing born?
Oh, I know.
Okay. And what famous lawsuit did Lessing take to the Texas Supreme Court and win?
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
We were just talking about
because I was
that
listening,
one.
You
yes,
know,
yeah,
carefully.
Can I go out and call?
Yeah, go out. And Bernie wants the DVD. You want the Pepe's. I know what you want. By the way, we're going to Pepe's today?
Yes, we are.
And what was that special? Do you remember what they had?
It was
the green enchiladas.
Green chili cheese enchiladas?
Yeah.
Ah, those are very
yeah,
good. So, Pepe, be warned, we're coming out again.
Yes.
Well, we've been going out there a whole lot. But
I know.
So
well, it's
what?
A good place to go.
It's really.
Now, people are so wonderful, and you see all your friends out
and
there.
And last week, we had a zoo out there.
Oh, my gosh, it was great.
There must have been 15 people showed up out
yes.
there. And the calls are already coming in, and we have Sergio on both duties.
Oh,
so be nice to Sergio.
Be nice. He's all alone in there today.
So what's the questions again?
The question is, where was Gunther Lessing born, or what famous lawsuit did Lessing take to the Texas Supreme Court and win? We were just talking about
that. My goodness, we can get that.
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Tomorrow, our iHeartRadio Music Awards are here for the love of music. See can't-miss live performances by Ed Sheeran, Eminem, Cardi B, Bon Jovi, Maroon 5, Camila Cabello, Charlie Puth, N.E.R.D., and surprises you'll have to see to believe. Tomorrow night at 6 on TBS, TNT, and True TV.
Brought to you by Taco Bell. Introducing Taco Bell's $1 nacho fries, covered in bold Mexican spices and dipped in warm nacho cheese sauce. Now serving at a Taco Bell near you.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Maybe take a long vacation. Bahamas, Maui, Paris. Maybe fill an entire pool with nacho cheese and have the world's biggest nacho party. Maybe get that tractor you've always wanted. Well, the Texas Lottery has paid out more than $21 billion to lottery winners. People who simply had a dream and bought a ticket. Lottery.com makes it even easier to play and track winnings. Download the Lottery.com app and get your first ticket for free. So go ahead, dream on. What would you do if you won? Go to Lottery.com to learn more.
Hey, El Paso, this is Ronnie Lowenfield from Casa Ford, and I want to thank you for your amazing support. With your help, we raised a lot of money for El Pasoans fighting hunger, but there's still a long way to go. Casa Ford is committed to seeing that no one in our community goes hungry. So please, we still need your help. Donate now by calling 915-298-0353 or dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keywords fighting hunger. That number again is 915-298-0353. And thanks again, El Paso, from Casa Ford.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
544-5876. Give us a call and get a Pepe certificate for $20. get yourself a DVD, and you have, those are simple questions.
Oh,
so
I
we
know.
Just
we
talked
were just
about
talking.
That.
Okay, it really may be out there weeding the garden. It's getting
well. You can't get to a phone. I got to tell you who's coming in next week, March 17. William Bill Helm, H-E-L-M. He's our guest.
Good.
Oh, this is get check this out. He's going to explain his work on a renovation of a Frank Lloyd Wright designed home, and that's was actually ended up being built near Santa Fe. A most unusual project since that house was supposed to be built in the El Paso area. So he'll talk about that. March 24, a tribute to artist John Hauser, the 12 Travelers Monument creator and sculptor. We have in coming in art historian Adair Margo, El Paso Museum art director Dr. Victoria Ramirez, UTEP professor Dr. Melissa Warwick, and they will teach. She teaches a course on Tom Lee art up there. They're going to talk about John Hauser and how John basically followed the tradition of Tom Lee on the 12 Travelers. March 31, Chamizal presentation of Siglo de Oro, and they're talking about the symphony. The symphony will also be coming in here because they're going to have a joint venture going on there. April 7th, the William Beaumont Hospital thing, we talked about that. They're looking for artifacts. They'll come explain themselves. And what's the history of that? Who was William Beaumont?
Yeah.
You know what he was famous for?
Medicine, I hope.
Well, I think he's the one who figured out the mosquito problem in Panama.
Oh.
Or was that the other guy? We'll find out when they come in here. April 14th, the Mission Trail. They're recreating the first Thanksgiving in Socorro, Texas this year. And that's what they're going to do from now on. They're going to describe the celebrations. April 21, World War II Company E from South El Paso. That whole book that Dave Gutierrez wrote is now becoming a movie. We'll see how that turns out. The rights have been sold anyway. Preservation Month on April 28th. There's a bazillion things going on with that. We'll tell you more. And the Lincoln County War on May the 5th. Cinco de Mayo. We're going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo with the Lincoln County War.
Ooh, so bring the blender?
Something to do. Well, you mean for margaritas?
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo. I mean, that's what we celebrate here.
You think of blenders.
There you go.
Retired Judge Herb Marsh is coming in.
Oh, Herb. He's good.
He knows a lot of stuff.
He's a nice guy.
May the 12th, more preservation explains stuff going on there. They got all kinds of stuff going on out there. Plus, their 3420 rail car.
That's the engine.
It's on display out at Freeport-McMoRan, which is the old Phelps Dodge refinery and cracking plant.
Cool.
And that's just off of Hawkins Boulevard. May 19th, Crest Collection. What's the history of that? That's what I got.
That's going to be cool.
Going to be cool.
I got the 20th Biennial Mogollon Archaeology Conference. Say that real quick 100
Not
times.
Yet.
Yes. They've got a call for papers, and they do this every year. The New Mexico State University will host the 20th Biennial Mogollon Archaeology Conference on October 11th to the 13th this year in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And the conference is going to be sponsored by NMSU Anthropology Department and Anthropology GSO and will be held at the Corbett Center in the auditorium. Now, the conference website is going to be www.longul.net.
Never make it.
I know, you'll never make it. But, you know, if you've got a paper that you want to present up there, you can, I was hoping they'd have a phone number, but they don't. Doggone it. If you Google this conference so you can find them, I guarantee you'll be able to find this. So if you're an archaeologist or an armchair archaeologist, you've got a paper you want to present on your history or whatever, get in touch with them because it's a great event that goes on there every year. So you got plenty of time, so get it in there. Your deadline on that is before August 8th, 2018, so you got plenty of time.
Just to let you know, buy three, get one free. Coronado Prime Meats on North Mesa, Elmer's Restaurant on Montana, Sicali Imports on North Loop. The War Eagles Air Museum has our videos. Tunnel Shop on the highway up to High Rolls, up to Cloudcroft. Imaginary Books and Collectibles in Cloudcroft. Sacramento Mountains History in Cloudcroft. Mesilla Book Center in Old Mesilla. Yesterday, Fine Antiques and Collectibles on Meacham Drive in Ruidoso. The Dolan House in Lincoln. Now, there's something to think about. The Dolan House in Lincoln. They had a history. That's part of the Lincoln County Wars. All right, should we take another break here, Sergio, and come back and do this all over again? And call us up if you have a trivia thing. We'll let that stay open for a bit.
Do you want to throw that out real quick?
Sure.
Where was Gunther Lessing born? We talked about that. And what famous lawsuit did Lessing take to the Texas Supreme Court and win? Many of the shady ladies were really upset about that.
Oh, they were?
Yes.
And how did they win this?
Yeah,
They call us.
They're right. 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-6131. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-6131. That's 1-800-900-6131. 1-800-900-6131.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Little Caesars, home of large hot and ready pizzas, like the classic pepperoni for only $5 and the deep, deep dish pepperoni for $8. And don't forget the crazy bread. All this and more at Little Caesars, plus tax at participating locations.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Okay, we got trivia to go, but we also have El Paso Links, so let's do trivia first, because there's something involved there. You ready for that?
Okay, I is ready.
Let's go to John. John, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Morning. I'd like to answer the first trivia question, if I could.
Okay, where was Gunther Lessing born?
If I listened correctly, it was in Waco, Texas.
Yay!
Correct.
Oh.
And that's not Waco Tanks.
No, that's
W-A-C.
Can I just make a comment and then I'll get off the air?
Yeah.
No, don't go away.
We
have to give you a prize,
yeah.
Dude.
First of all, why don't you tell us what the prize, which prize did you want? The $20 gift certificate to Pepe's?
Oh, did I win? I thought I had gotten the wrong one.
Oh, okay. No.
You got it. You got
win.
It.
You got a $20 gift certificate at Pepe's or an El Paso Gold DVD?
Let me have the, I have a need at Pepe's. I've been wanting to go. Can I have the gift certificate?
Yay, Pepe.
Yay,
sure.
Okay,
thank you. Okay. I'll let some, do you want me to try to answer the second
one? No.
No. You only do the one.
Okay. I just have a real quick comment about, I think Jackson mentioned Beaumont Hospital. The doctor who got the treatment for yellow fever in Panama was Gorgas.
Oh, I got that wrong then. Well, what did they do? What did Beaumont? We have to find out what Beaumont did.
If I remember correctly, I think he did some kind of innovations in surgery.
Okay.
Beaumont. I haven't really researched Dr. Beaumont.
Well, John, they're coming on the radio shortly, and we'll talk to them about that.
Yeah, all right. I'm sure they can tell us.
All right, hold on now. You get
Don't
your
go
prize.
Anywhere.
Get your prize.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for
hold,
listening.
Hold on,
Bye.
And Sergio will tell you how to pick it up. Hold
okay,
on. Thanks
I'll do
a lot.
That. Uh-huh. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Albert took off, so we don't have another Albert.
Oh, Albert.
Are you ready for This Week Only in El Paso Inc., Sergio? Everybody? All right.
This Week Only in El Paso Inc.
Go for it.
Why the president of Microsoft is coming to El Paso and what it means for the city.
Also, why one of downtown El Paso's most popular festivals has been canceled this year.
Uh-oh. Billy Abraham missed a key court hearing. Now his downtown El Paso buildings may be headed for liquidation. Oh, my.
And there's another story there.
El Paso's connection to the Irish. It's even closer than you might think.
Indeed. El Paso's premier business journal is El Paso, Inc. It's available for home and business delivery.
To subscribe at elpasoinc.com or El Paso, Inc. by calling 915-534-4422.
This Sunday evening, ABC 7 Extra looks at how City Council is considering legislation about El Paso's dog groomer laws. Reports of abuse in other states prompt El Paso to see about some guidance for El Paso's pet groomers. That's Sunday night.
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadion hosts. That's ABC 7 Extra, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7.
What channel is that?
Seven.
Just thought I'd ask. All right, Bernie, obviously.
What did I miss?
No, you got it right. Obviously, Bernie is still here because Bernie is still historic.
I'm leaving.
Where did we end up? Because we ended up somewhere. We had this guy Lessing doing things.
Yeah.
And what happened next?
Well, a couple of interesting things. Stephanie last week was talking about bringing movies to El Paso, or production movies and so on. And when she did that, I was ironically doing some research. And as it turned out, Ziegfeld was in town in 1918, let me see what the date was.
Ziegfeld?
1917.
Ziegfeld?
The Ziegfeld.
Yes.
And he reported
Ziegfeld Follies.
That's right. He reported that El Paso should be the go-to place for filming movies.
Why?
Because of the atmosphere, the climate.
The history.
Well, not so much
weather.
The history.
No,
the weather was the big thing for them. Yeah, because they filmed a lot of their stuff outside, and he really promoted it heavily. Now, while he was here, he got into a little bit of trouble. He was accused of embezzlement and put in jail.
Oh.
And Lessing got him out. So Lessing became his attorney.
Oh, and is that how that
So happened? This was a connection to Hollywood all of a sudden.
Initially, yes, 1917. But it progressed from there. Now, also, there was some conjecture that A.B. Fall and a handful of other Who's Who people in El Paso had contracted Manny Clements to assassinate Pat Garrett.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah. And what happened ultimately is Manny Clements was killed in Coney Island. And the gentleman that that shot him in the back of the head was tried. His name was Ford. Go figure. Another Ford. He was tried for the murder of Manny Clements. And Lessing was his attorney.
Explain when you say he was killed in the Coney Island. We're not talking New York.
No, it was a hot dog restaurant downtown El Paso, a very popular place
on the
to go
park,
to.
Right on the park.
The park,
yeah,
on San Jacinto.
There you go.
And so Lessing was the defense attorney for this gentleman that was accused of killing him.
Okay, this lawyer's getting into stuff. What else did he do?
Well, let's see. If we take it one step further, he had decided he was going to move to Hollywood or to Los Angeles. And he had a reputation, obviously, because he had worked directly with Madero and with Villa and Orozco in defending them in some cases. In fact, a gentleman he met out there by the name of Walt Disney.
Oh, Walter!
Walt Disney
Uncle
said,
Walter.
He said, we have to hire this man because if he could defend Pancho Villa, he's the kind of guy we want.
Walt Disney said that?
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Yeah. And Walt and Lessing also got involved with Dolores Del Rio. She was a Mexican actress, very popular during the silent films. Dolores and her husband, Jaime, became good friends with Lessing and his wife when they were in Los Angeles. So he became Jaime, Dolores' husband's attorney, consequently also Dolores. Now, when Jaime died unexpectedly in Spain during surgery, Lessing was taking over for the estate and helping Dolores. But when Dolores refused to pay the full amount, Lessing sued her.
Oh.
And now the rumor is she wanted to get back at Lessing for his unscrupulous behavior. So she sided with Lessing's wife at the time. Lessing's wife was suing for divorce because, as she said, whenever they play bridge, if she didn't do well, he'd throw water in her face.
Oh,
he would
geez.
Pull her by the ear and escort her out of the room. Oh. So Dolores Del Rio was feeding the fumes of this divorce to get back at Lessing.
This is weird.
Good
yeah.
Lord.
So now, going back to what I was saying about Walt Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Walt Disney got in touch with Lessing. He hired him as the chief legal counsel for Disney Studios.
Really?
He hired him right after he lost the rights for a cartoon series that he came out with because of weak copyright protection. So Lessing came in and provided the copyright protection for Mickey Mouse.
Wow.
And, is that Steamboat Willie was the first one?
No, yeah, the first cartoon with Mickey Mouse, yeah. So he became a close personal friend and confidant of Walt Disney.
That's in the 30s or 40s? 30s.
That would have been
starting
20s.
20s.
Yeah,
20s.
Yeah. The Steamboat Willie was...
In the 20s, I think.
Yeah, he was hired in 1927.
There you go.
Okay, yeah.
By Walt Disney. And to progress further forward, at the board meetings at Walt Disney Studios, oftentimes Walt Disney wasn't there. Lessing sat in his chair and took care of the meetings.
This is the same guy that hung out in El Paso and sued people?
The same guy, yeah. Oh, wow. He, in fact, was one person that Walt Disney said he is the only person in all of the Disney production facilities, you know, ultimately Disneyland, that people have to call him Mr.
Oh.
Because Walt went by Walt.
Right.
And now if you go to Disneyland and you're walking through the Old Town Disneyland, one of the windows has
law office.
Yeah, it has
Lessing?
Lessing Esquire in the window.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, Walt Disney was an unusual dude. He would sit on the bench out there and talk to people. And one of my neighbors here in El Paso had that happen to her.
I met him a couple of times. He would sit there. Once a month when we were kids, he would go out and he would ride all the rides at Disneyland to make sure that they were running correctly and that everything was clean. And you'd see him. He'd be sitting on the bench. You could talk to him. You could approach him. He was a very nice man.
Apparently was.
Now, something else I found out about Lessing, he enlisted in the Army in 1918. And for those of you who are Star Wars aficionados, get this headline. Gunther Lessing enlists Yoda, patriotic Japanese, to fight for U.S. So now we know Yoda. Well, Yoda's first name was Jim. Oh. Actually, he was a Japanese gentleman that lived in New Mexico, but his name was Jim Yoda. So I just thought this was fascinating.
And maybe
Yoda.
That's where the Star Wars people got.
Yeah.
So now we know Yoda's first name, Jim.
Jim
Yoda.
Well, it all comes around because Disney now owns that.
Yeah.
That's irony.
Strange irony. Yeah.
Look.
Lessing came back to El Paso after he got out of the military, he started the Wear a Smile campaign. And what he wanted people to do is to greet everyone with a smile. If the visitor, a neighbor, whoever, greet him with a smile. So it was a Wear a Smile campaign.
I guess that was a nice thing to do.
Yeah, it was a nice thing.
My first reaction is just say no. But, I mean, I guess I could turn that around. And say,
did
just
he
say
start
yes.
with his wife while he was pulling her ear? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was his second wife.
Dearie, would you like a glass of water? No, here it is anyway. Boom. Jeezy peasy. What a dude. Crazy man. So did this guy ever have a resolve to his world? Did he die a wealthy man?
He died in 1964 in California.
And they planted him under some orange tree or something? No.
Probably. Yeah.
No, they pulled him by the ear into the sky.
I wonder if he's in what's the really good
He's thing? A memorial.
But he's not in El Paso.
No, he's not in El Paso.
Well, he was not really in El Paso and born in Waco, but he had a fair amount of influence here.
A lot of influence.
It sounded like.
Yeah, his office, ironically... Lane Gaddy should like this, was at the Martin Building.
The Martin Building.
Yeah.
Oh,
now, another case that he was involved with, this was involving Pancho Villa. Pancho Villa did a movie. Thayer Productions produced the movie.
Thayer,
T-H-A-Y-E-R.
I remember that name, yeah.
And evidently, they just refused to pay Pancho Villa his monies. So guess who supported and defended Pancho Villa?
Our dude Lessing.
There you go.
He's the lawyer on behalf of Pancho suing somebody.
Yeah.
Did he win? What happened?
Yeah, they did win.
They did pay off?
No.
Oh, well.
Come get it.
I wouldn't want to
have
Thayer
dissolved. The studios dissolved. They were bought up by another company.
Yeah, you wouldn't want Pancho on your case to collect the debt because he didn't play fair.
Well, no, he didn't.
Thayer was out of New York, I believe.
Initially, yes.
Yes.
The also, when the revolution concluded, he rode with the Madero brothers on a train down to Mexico City to celebrate. His wife didn't want to go. She was scared to death to go, so she stayed behind. But he did go down there and celebrate with them the victory in the revolution.
Which time? I mean, there's so many.
This is 1918.
I win, you win, we win.
1970, 1918.
And Pancho got killed 2 years later?
21, 22.
20, okay, three years later. That was a weird time around here. People wonder, has anything ever happened in El Paso? A good chunk of the Mexican Revolution was planned and executed, shall we say, from offices in El Paso.
In the Caples Building.
The Caples Building.
Yeah.
That the Sheldon Hotel, which was replaced by the Plaza Hotel.
The Plaza, yeah.
Is now sits there.
Built by Hilton.
Yeah, and the whole thing was that so much went on around. It was kind of hard, like I say, to figure out where do you start talking about the history. And it's not all happy history. We're not trying to say that.
No.
You know, people think, well, why do you have this Oñate statue at the airport called an equestrian? And that was a compromise because people were mad at the guy for what he did in history. But that's not the point to put the statue up. The turning points. major events in the area that occurred. And so that's another reason Pancho Villa is huge.
Impacts.
A lot of people don't like him.
Well, yeah, and I was incorrect when I said that it was Ford that had was accused. His name was Joe Brown, was accused of shooting Manny Clements.
Well, just get that straight.
I did.
Okay. What else do we need to know from Bernie Sargent? There's so much going on. You have so much alphabet and so little time.
I know. We never do quite get past one letter or the other.
No, we really don't. That's okay, because you coming in here is a good thing, because people need to know what you're about and what's going on.
Oh, another thing about Dolores Del Rio, her and her husband, Jaime, were involved in the Mexican Revolution during the 1920s.
Well, that was another one. It kept going.
With the Cristeros?
The Cristeros, yeah. They're very much involved in that.
That was another whole area. You want to hit that and see what?
Is that good or bad?
Well, no, it was good. They were on the Cristero side.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
right.
She was a devout Catholic.
You want to explain that?
Yeah. What it was at one time is the leadership of Mexico were intimidated by Catholicism because they felt the priests had too much control, and they wanted to control the country, and they didn't want the Catholic influence. So ultimately, ended up in a what they called the Cristeros War, where they were fighting with the Catholics, and they were actually banning priests and brothers and nuns from performing any kind of religious services. So they would have to go underground to do it, to the point where some of them were actually shot by firing squad.
Jeez.
Some of the priests, yeah. It was just kind of a horrendous time.
There was a similar attitude, different results in New Mexico when it became a state.
Yeah.
There was a lot of the offices all up and down the Rio Grande in New Mexico were populated by Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody came in and started removing them and putting in people who were not Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
All over the state of New Mexico.
Yeah.
What they were doing, putting in Freemasons quite often.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because of religious issues, but just because they knew him already. And when we get to the Lincoln County War coming up in May, that's going to be an interesting discussion about those kind of people. All right.
By the way, Lessing was a Mason also.
Okay, I'm not surprised.
Well,
you got to understand who they were, what they believe in today.
Yeah.
And they go back to the formative years, and why did that make a difference? And it was like-minded people who basically would go into a town as an early settler type.
Mm-hmm.
They would help build a building that would be a school on the first floor and a Masonic hall on the second floor. They'd hire a school teacher, they'd hire a sheriff, and they became a town usually all across the West.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was done in El Paso as well.
Lessing was also assistant dictator. Have you ever heard that term?
To what?
In the Moose Lodge.
Oh, no.
The leader was a dictator, and second in command was assistant dictator.
Oh, I like that kind of club.
I never.
That's the way I should run my clubs.
Wait till you hear the initiation, though, young lady. You may not want to get in.
Well, how you get
out?
Oh,
well, I can make my own. I have my own ideas.
Does it have something to do with a moose? Or should we move on?
It has water in your face and pulling your ear.
Pulling your ear. No. We're moving on from that. Other history, Bernie.
I've got to thank Ballard Shapley. He's deputy district attorney for the county,
uh-huh.
because he wrote four great pieces back in the early 2000s on the lawyers of El Paso and their history. And I happened to bump into that online. Oh, by the way, if anybody wants to do research of newspapers other than the Times or the Herald, the Abilene Library has an extensive collection of other El Paso newspapers.
Interesting. Also, the Fountain Museum by appointment only in Mesilla. Apparently has a tremendous amount of El Paso material.
Wow.
I have to go. I've never been there.
They're all over the place.
I hear these things.
They're all over
the place.
Why don't
we have our history?
Well, we're working on some things. In fact, the Trost, it is Texas Trost. We're changing it to the Trost Society, all-encompassing. It'll be Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Arizona. And one of the things we'll be announcing soon is a railroad trip to Tucson
next year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. We're going to actually have one dedicated passenger car.
A Pullman cart.
Yeah.
Now, is there enough left in Tucson to look at?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's not only Tucson, but also Douglas and Bisbee.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's like two buildings in Bisbee that were Trost.
There's a couple of them.
I did not know the Deming Museum I was in on Thursday was a Trost building.
Yeah, there's quite a few. There's a few other buildings in Deming that are also Trost buildings. The thing about Douglas, that there's a couple that bought the hotel in Douglas, and mm-hmm. I cannot remember the name of it. Do you remember the name of it?
The hotel.
But you look at it, it looks almost, there's some of the design reminds you of the Camino Real. But this is the hotel where Pancho Villa rode his horse up these marble steps.
Oh, my.
And I would just imagine this. So this might be a great trip.
It's a beautiful hotel.
You're not talking about the White Horse. Right?
The White Horse.
The White Horse.
Yeah, the one he kept borrowing.
Well, you know where it came from.
Yeah.
The Lowensteins?
The Lowensteins. You heard this whole story. I'm borrowing your horse.
Lowenstein was a trading partner, so Poncho didn't steal it.
Yeah.
He just came and borrowed it.
He was also one of the first postmasters in El Paso County.
Lowenstein down in Isleta. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a cousin married one of them. That's kind of some of this is filtered down. Taking a break a little early there, Sicko. Let's do that. And Facebook, how's that looking?
It's coming up. I just posted our guest from last hour and the poster on the Cape Moore bike ride.
Oh, look at those chicas hanging out there.
Those chicas going, yada. There's our picture, our poster, Texas History Begins at El Paso.
Well, we figured that out.
Yes.
And it still stands.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun. I'm excited about that bike ride. That's going
to
be fun.
Next Saturday?
Next Saturday, 10 a.m. at the El Paso Museum of History.
And we're going to have to miss you. Call us up if you feel like it, but otherwise don't.
Go to call us at 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay. And a sudden accident or unexpected illness could cause your rates to skyrocket or even make you uninsurable. Beat the clock. Call SelectQuote now. No hassle, no obligation. In minutes, you'll have a choice of your best rates from up to 10 highly rated life insurance companies. Richard, 40 years old, takes meds to control his cholesterol. Still, SelectQuote got him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. Under a dollar a day. Don't risk your family's security another minute. Get your free quote now. Just call 800-280-8787. That's 800-280-8787. 800-280-8787. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Go to EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to EPHistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We do a lot of history here on the radio show,
we
and
do.
It's one of those few people, groups that still does. However, there's another thing we've been doing, just to let you know, there are history segments about El Paso history on YouTube. Free to look at. Go there to the El Paso History TV on the YouTube, just YouTube.com. Get on there and then search El Paso History TV. There's all kinds of stuff on there. We have a rundown of the whole San Elizario events of the first Thanksgiving, and that's on YouTube.com, El Paso History TV. Also, the historical reports that we've had on many documentaries, all kinds of stuff on there. So take a look at that, and you will find yourself in at least 100 different videos about El Paso history. Go ahead.
Well, hit the road for the Trinity site tour. It's coming up pretty quick. It's going to be April 7th. It's going to be in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And you can get out there to the site where the first atomic bomb blew up. And it's only open a couple of times a year. And this is the first time of the year. It's going to be April 7th. And if you're interested, you can get a hold of the New Mexico Museum of History by calling 575-437-2884. Or go to their website, and you can reserve your spot. Because we have a bus going out there that's going to have a historian that's going to be on board. He's going to be talking about the history there. So when you get out there, you can walk out.
There's a little movie on the bus.
Yeah. Well, that's on the way back. So they're going to talk about the history on the way out. You're going to get a walk around the site and everything. And then you're going to have a little brown bag lunch and everything. And then you ride the bus back to the museum, and you get tour the museum, which is a really, really a cool museum. And there's limited tickets on it, so you got to get a hold of them now. And the ticket price is $75 per person or $65 if you're a member. It's a great trip. Someday we're going
to
do this. It's going to work out for us. Yeah,
you got to.
Got to do it.
All right. Bernie Sargent's in the house now. Bernie, what's next for El Paso? You got all kinds of things going on. You got an award you just got for Lane Gaddy. You picked it up for him.
Well, he was there. Oh, he
was.
Yeah, he actually traveled down there for it. Yeah,
that was
for the restoration of the Martin Building.
No, but for the other
Duranguito. Yeah, yeah.
That's what you
recognized as an endangered neighborhood. Yes,
and that you got for the El Paso History Alliance.
Yes,
took the award. Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting stuff going on there.
Oh, there's things happening everywhere all the time.
I would hope the city declares victory and works with the crowd and make that into a museum exhibit. That whole two block area.
It could be open 365 days a year instead of just during special events.
We don't have an Old Town El Paso. That would be perfect because it is Old Town El Paso.
Yeah, birthplace of El Paso.
Yeah, and it'd be so smart to do that. If you have a city rep you'd like to talk to, tell them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because going the direction they're going is just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be lying to the voters like they did. And the current administration was not involved in that. Some of the city council members were, but the current administration generally should just...
Well, that dates all the way back to John Cook's administration.
So, I mean, declare victory and go for the history. Because promoting an arena for who's going to... Like you said, 50 nights a year it's going to be used or whatever. Nah, don't go there, people. Let's save the history. Promote El Paso for its history. You watch the tourism just skyrocket here.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, shall
and
we say.
And that was the overriding comment down in Brownsville by all these folks that are much smarter than I am about preservation.
They don't see why El Paso management's doing what it's doing?
They're not surprised.
They should,
we have a track record.
We need to change that. I mean, somebody needs to come along and make it different because the history is what's important here.
Yeah, because they just go, oh, that's El Paso.
And that's how they look at us.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Well, they did applaud the fact that the we're not being investigated anymore. That was a big deal down there.
Because you and Max were set up by the city council or the
county commissioner's court.
Yeah.
And they hear this at the state level. What's that say about volunteers that put their time into history? I mean,
yeah. we do have a caller. Let's see who might be on the phone. We'll get that in a second. Well, that's just a sad case that you've been totally exonerated now. But the sad case was it took so long, over a year.
Yeah.
And you guys are hanging out. Texas Rangers are supposed to be looking through your garbage or whatever, but they never did, of course.
No.
But the point was the politicians caused that threat to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And those politicians should go down in flames.
Well, and that also affects his reputation.
All right. We talked to Peggy on the phone. Hey, Peggy, got you on the radio. What's up, Peggy?
I nominate Bernie Sargent.
Turn off your radio.
Mayor of El Paso.
Bernie Sargent. I wouldn't wish that upon him, even though it might be good for the city. It'd probably break your brain, wouldn't it?
What brain?
No, it wouldn't, because you wouldn't be so frustrated, because you would be, you know, taking charge.
Well, thank you, Peggy.
You have no idea how exciting your program is and how much you stir up the old pioneers of El Paso, and we would support you more than you can imagine.
Peggy,
that's very,
very
sweet of you, Peggy.
Very nice.
Hey, did they name Peggy, Texas after you? I went through Peggy, Texas last week.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I hadn't either. It's not too far from Edith, Texas.
Know, and I know you all know that my great-grandfather was the conductor on the train that came to El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And George Ryder, my cousin's mother, who was my great-auntie, whose name was Frances Ryder, ought to get a little attention now that women are coming forward and claiming our equality. She was the first woman to ever be to ever work for the United States Post Office.
Oh, Peggy, that's
really
great stuff.
Oh,
yes, her name was Frances Ryder, and if you go to the train museum, Prince McKenzie is proud of a picture of my great-grandfather standing on top of the locomotive holding the hand of a tiny little golden-haired girl, and that was my Aunt Goldie, Frances Ryder.
Oh, Peggy,
I think I hear a history moment.
She might have been the first woman to work for the government.
Oh, Peggy, thank you for that. We got to cut you off because we're out of time. Call earlier next time. But Peggy, thank you very much.
Thanks, Peggy.
I think a history moment in the making is coming.
Indeed. We got El Paso History, ephistory.com for details about the radio show. Next week, we're going to talk architecture in El Paso as well as Frank Lloyd Wright. Bernie, thanks for coming in. Dude.
My pleasure.
See you at Pepe's right now. We're going.
See you in 2 weeks.
Take care, guys. Thank you for listening.
you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.